Blog Talk Radio.
Ministries on Sunday in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, one and all. We are so thankful to the Lord for all that he has done in this ministry. and all that he's done in the lives of every individual that has contacted our ministry. The Lord has done more miracles than we listened to during our weekly broadcast. He's touched people in ways that some of us have no idea. You see, God is very, very powerful. He's everywhere at one time. He doesn't miss a lick. He doesn't miss a thing. There's nothing about your life that God doesn't know about already. But yes, he requires us to come to him in prayer, to bring it of our own free will before his throne, and to ask him to move on our behalf. He's a wonderful and benevolent God. We want to thank him today for allowing us to be alive today. I saw a terrible accident yesterday where one of those Toyota Honda-looking cars was split in half, and the front end of a truck was bent in. But you see, God is greater than that. He's greater than everything that could possibly befall us in this life. Even if we go to hell, God knows where we are and what's going on with us. There is no one who escapes his notice. So if perchance you're sitting there thinking that you're all alone, stop telling yourself that. That's simply not the truth. The Lord is there. Now we're here with you. The angels are there. You're there. You're not alone. It's not possible. Amen? So we want to thank the Lord for his presence with us today. We thank him for every blessing that he's released to us in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. We are a Christian internet church and a local church assembly. Amen. Amen. Father, it's a privilege and an honor to stand before you and to stand before the body of Christ. We ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit take over the service in Jesus' name. We're just your vessels, Lord. We're your people. You're God, and we like it that way. We ask you to come in and to touch everyone who's here to worship with us today, and all of those who will join us from other parts of the world later today, Lord. Let them feel your very presence, close and intimate, Lord, as they come to fellowship with your word, with your spirit, and with other believers. We thank you for the blessing of your presence, because your presence is holy, in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who are not aware, we celebrate Holy Communion at the beginning of our services. So we'll give you a couple of minutes to gather your elements if you have not done so already. You know, as I was telling you about that accident that I saw yesterday, I was also grateful to the Lord for his timing for my appearing. You see, I had planned to leave the house a little sooner than I did. And then all of a sudden I got to fiddling around. You know how you do in the house, picking up first one thing and another. And so I was a few minutes later for going where I was going. And as a result of that, I missed the entire accident until it had happened. You see, I made this decision that I would call ahead to the restaurant instead of just jumping in the car taking off. And that took a little longer because the young lady put me on hold. You see, God always knows what he's doing. And that happened to be a very long hold. It was, she said, wait 1 second. Well, I have news for you. During that 1 second, I got dressed. Completely dressed, shoes and all. I could find my purse. I could find my keys, my glasses. I could get the car out. I could do all the regular things that it takes me too long to do while I was doing that 1 second with her. I got in the car. I cranked it up, and I slowly went on my way. And I was still driving quite a distance before she ever came back to the phone. You see? God knows the timing for everything in our lives. We think he's taking too long. But as we grow more patient in spirit, we realize that he has more things for us to experience in this journey of life. Amen? He has little nooks and crannies that we need to visit because there's a lesson to be learned in each place. I'm grateful that I missed that collision. I'm very grateful. And I prayed for whoever was involved. It took a lot of policemen to hold off the traffic because it was a very, very bad accident. Can you imagine a whole car split in half? And half of it was missing. So we're grateful for the work of the Lord in our life. We're grateful for the angels. We're grateful for every blessing. We don't pray Psalm 91 and release it over everyone because it's something ritualistic to do. No, it's the word of the Lord for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you. And we bring before you ourselves. And we acknowledge the things about us that are not pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord, for touching our lives. We thank you, Lord, for helping us. We thank you, Lord, for ministering to us. And we ask you, Father, to forgive us of those things that we have done that are not pleasing to you at all. We ask you, Lord, to touch our lives, to strengthen us, to help us, to help us to grow in faith, Lord. We thank you. We ask for the blood to be applied, Father. We ask for the blood to be applied. You said if we would confess our faults, you were just and faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you, Lord, that you do just that. We want to grow, Lord. We want to please you. We may be weak, but we want to please you. We thank you for the strength that comes in the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the strength that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. We receive it, Lord, right now. We'll be better next time around because we'll be stronger. And we thank you for the love. Your continual flow of love to your imperfect children. We love you, Father, and we bless the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if you have your elements, it's time to celebrate the Lord's Supper. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We do this in remembrance of you, Lord. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. Mm-hmm. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen?
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, this morning we lift before you a young lady who is fighting for her life. Lord Jesus, I have already asked that you appear to her and save her soul. Father, they say that her brain is bleeding. And they're planning to pull the plug tomorrow, Lord, after the family flies in. Lord, we're asked today, Lord, after the family flies in, we pray for a miracle. We submerge her under the blood of Jesus Christ. We wrap her in the blood stripes. We lift her family and her parents before you. We bind death in Jesus' name. We break its grip and hold in Jesus' name. We break every chain. We place her in the hands of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You'll handle that. We want to thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. This day, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray for the Congregation of Miracle Outreach Ministries and for those who are rightly connected to this ministry. We are asking, Father, that you heal our souls in accordance with the covenant in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for judges. Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievances which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment and to take away the right from the poor of the people. For you have been charged to hear the causes between brethren and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. The scripture says that you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You are not to respect the person of the poor nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Father, we place every judge into the hands of God the Holy Spirit to see to it that their judgment reflects your righteousness, for Lord, you are a judge.
Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Yarraka, the government of their judgments are on your shoulder. Ru baba kusha. Ringe de gebrisha da de diosa regi de la rako hoba. Sharugala le yasin de rukuta da brese de dio. Risa da brese de la brese da brokaba. Irusula la lasta da brese de dio su rakata da bare.
Father, in Jesus' name, we surrender to the Holy Spirit every decision that has been made that has affected our lives adversely and still works ill toward us. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love you and to them who are the called according to your purpose. We thank you, Father, for the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We agree with the intercession of the Godhead in Jesus' name. Father, we bind Belial. He's the ruling spirit of wickedness at work in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and everywhere else. We break his grip and hold over every person who claims to be a Christian in Jesus' name. We break his grip and hold. His point, Lord, is to remove us, to sway us, and to persuade us away from you and toward the enemy. He wants to sweep us into the enemy's kingdom. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we proclaim your holiness. We proclaim your might. We proclaim your righteousness over every Christian everywhere in Jesus' name. We release the power in the name of Jesus Christ over every Christian right now in Jesus' name. No, Belial, you cannot have us in Jesus' name. We belong to Jesus. We are his and his alone. And we bind you and we chain all of your underlings in Jesus' name. We render you helpless in the name of Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ has given us power and authority over you. We hand you over handcuffed and caged and chained to God the Holy Spirit, for him to do with you as he sees fit in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Father. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly place in Christ Jesus, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your very glory in the midst. We thank you for the warring, linking angels and the praising angels in Jesus' name. And we bind Satan, the strong man, all his evil angels, evil spirits, all demonic agents, all of his underlings, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, and we cancel all of the demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous all over the world in Jesus' name. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan and his kingdom and his agents in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. And, Father, we repent of any doors that we opened in Jesus' name. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong men and enthrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you for your grace. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks. And we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar, electronic, technology, Leviathan spirits, Kundalini spirits, water and marine spirits, all sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils,
Rukasitera, pain afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, seducing spirits, womanizing, drones, Havana syndrome, all remote viewing, all brain changes, all injuries to the mind, all whoredom spirits and their attacks, all the voices of the stranger, all targeted radio frequency attacks, all pulse weapons and their attacks, all microwave frequency weapons and their attacks, all sonic frequency attacks, in Jesus' name. We bind every attack. Every attack must go back in the name of Jesus. Every attack must go back in the name of Jesus. We bind all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers in Jesus' name. We bind the work of the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic art. We bind Egyptian magic, Buddhist black magic, Santeria, Chaldean magic, Hindu, African, Indian, Australian, European, Caribbean, Latin American, black and white magic in Jesus' name. And any form of magic that was not mentioned, you are now bound in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide and all free-flying devils and all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind all spirits of inattention, impulsivity in Jesus' name. We bind the prince of the power of the air and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog in every abomination that has been committed. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents. We bind the Mandela effect. We bind all satanic ritual abuse devils and all satanic worship in Jesus' name. We bind all witchcraft dedication, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formations of bull flies and demonic insects, spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits and spirits of infirmity. As supplanting spirits, the gods of the people of the land and the gods of the groves and every spirit that exalts science, logic, and human reasoning against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of the generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New Age movement and the New World Order, spirits, and the works of the oppressors we bind. We bind false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit in the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, make-believe, fantasy, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Jezebelic and Ahab practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, bio-PK, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind you all in the name of Jesus Christ, and we bind the king of pride, and we strip him of his kingdom in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, fecal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind whatever was left at somebody's front door, and we return it to the sender in Jesus' name. We bind all devils attached to, oh, and those owls that want to hoot. We cut your hoot right out in Jesus' name. We forbid you to hoot anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. You'll just have to suck it in. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and the temptation to sin, we bind you in Jesus' name. And all of those sacrifices that you've been making around our yards, We send every one of them back to you. It's your sacrifice. You keep it in Jesus' name. And what you intended for us now is rewarded to you. You are rewarded for your hard work of getting up in the middle of the night to do a sacrifice against the righteous in Jesus' name. And the reward for that we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Moloch, Baselech, Python, Baphomet and his 72, Neptune, Zeus, Atlas, Mammon, and Apollyon. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons. We break the powers of every Masonic ritual in Jesus' name. We bind the fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, codes, triggers, and return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliation of the enemy upon his own head, according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, witchcraft, and mind control back on their own heads. In Jesus' name, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6, we bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Did you know that the blood of Jesus is greater than any blood sacrifice anywhere? Well, that's the sacrifice that counts in Jesus' name. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, we thank you that our muscles do what they're supposed to do. We thank you, Lord, that our ligaments do what they're supposed to do. We thank you, Lord, that our ball and socket joints do what they're supposed to do. We thank you for smooth movement in Jesus' holy name. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. With the sword of the Spirit, we cut ourselves free from all attachments, all ungodly attachments to wickedness in Jesus' name. We sever every soul tie attachment, covenant, agreement, consent, vow, pledge, pact, or any other form of agreement with the demonic realm. We pull down protection against every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, shaman, sorcerer, and nanobot. We break the power of every curse, hex, vex, spell, love spells, charms, fetishes, all psychic warfare, all voodoo, magic, and sorcery, all jinxes, all potions, all brain frequency meditation. We break the spirits of death, destruction, sickness, and we bind up all incense, candle burning, incantations, chanting, crystals, root work, hoodoo, tribal rituals, and sin in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no dominion over the people of God. We thank you, Lord, that we are free, free to worship you in the spirit of truth. And we thank you and give you praise for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, saints, you know, as I was preparing the message for today, I was thinking about several things. But you see, something happened to confirm
that this was the message that the Lord wants us to hear from him. It's not as if I had five different messages. I didn't. I just was wondering. And so the Lord answered my prayer. Amen. He answered my prayer. And I want to thank him for that. Amen. You know, if you ever got a question, God will come to the rescue and answer you, because he wants you to know what's on his mind. Amen. So today, saints, we're going to have a little fireside chat without the regular fire, just the fire of God. Amen. We're going to talk about strong walls to overcome. Strong walls to overcome. For those of you who are new, we only use the King James Version of the Bible here. We use it exclusively. And we want to encourage you to take notes. I am certain that during the course of the day, there's going to be a scripture or two that you'll want to remember. And so I would suggest that you get some paper so you can jot it down when we get to that place. Amen? Amen. Strong walls. Has anybody ever seen a strong wall? Well, there's some not too far from here. It's a fort. It's got real thick, strong, sturdy walls. And those are the kinds of walls that people have in their lives. Saints even have them. Amen. And we're going to find the cure for those walls today. Amen. Amen. This is a message for the saints. This is a message for the saints. How's the sound doing? The word of God for the people of God. You see, saints, it's good to be willing to be made willing, especially when we just don't want to do what we know is right. I'll go there again. It's good to be willing to be made willing, especially when we just don't want to do what we know is right. There are times, if you haven't gotten there yet, keep breathing. You'll get there. In the life of a believer, when you know to do what's right, but you just don't feel like doing it. It's not that you don't know the scriptures. It's not that you don't know right from wrong. You just don't feel like doing it. It's happened to everyone. It's common to saints and to others. But you know, this is a message for the saints. Many of us have experienced the pain and suffering of biting our own tongue. Most of us have had that experience. It is quite unpleasant, isn't it? And it can hurt for more than a minute or two. And what do we do about this when we clamp down on our tongue with our teeth? What do we do? Well, don't we usually inspect the tongue to ensure its well-being and then continue on? Isn't that what we do? We go look in the mirror to see if it's bleeding. Okay, no blood. Okay, you'll make it. If it's really painful, we go find some ice. And then we move that around for a little while. It seems to numb it, and then we go on about our way. Amen? Or do we go to the dental surgeon and request that all of the teeth be removed because the teeth and the tongue had a collision? Does anybody try that option? Does anybody give up all their teeth just because your teeth and your tongue had a clash? Well, I haven't ever done that. I hope you didn't do it either. We don't do that now, do we?
Well, you see, God intended for both the teeth and the tongue to be together and always to work well together, right? That was the will, intent, and purpose of God. He wants the teeth and tongue to be together. He wants the teeth and tongue to operate together. That's his plan. That's his purpose. Amen? If they did not, we would not have clear speech nor proper chewing of our food. And, you know, to some of us, that proper chewing of our food is extremely important. Amen? I know you're looking at me like, where are you going with this, Beth? I know you better than this. Don't worry about it. God's got it. So why is it that we are so quick to shut ourselves off when we are offended? That's a good question. Why do we do that? Isn't this childish? You know, saints, it is an offense against the kingdom of God for a true Christian to continue to behave as a three-year-old once they have become much older. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, when I became older, more mature, even adult, what did I do? I put away childish things. At least that's what we're supposed to do. Amen? Is the body of Christ in agreement with the word today? Amen. Amen. We must put away all childishness in thought and in action. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, we'll begin with verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So you see, this is the level of maturity that the Lord is calling all of us to. We're not supposed to be behaving ourselves unseemly or seeking our own or being easily provoked or being puffed up or thinking evil. That's not supposed to be us. Amen? Amen. Love, God's love in us, is not a harborer of irritable or touchiness. God's love in us doesn't work that way. It does not harbor irritability or touchiness. It's not, it doesn't do that. The love of God does not, it doesn't do that. Well, how are you this morning? It doesn't do that. That's not the love of God. Well, is there anything I can do to help you? It doesn't do that. Is there anything I can get for you? Yes. It doesn't do that. That's not the love of God. Well, is there anything you want me to bring you?
It doesn't do that either. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. We're growing.
It does not hold grudges. And it prefers not to pay undue attention when others do it wrong. It doesn't come back and say, well, I saw what you did. The love of God does not do that. Well, how can this happen? To not pay undue attention when others do us wrong. Well, Jesus Christ has already given his life and shed his blood for every offense that has ever been committed or ever will be committed. He died for them all. All the ones that have been done, all the ones that are being done, and all the ones that ever will be done. He covered them all. It is the same blood that washes away our sins that has separated us from the sins of others. That same blood does it all. The kingdom of God, saints, is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Am I correct? Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, the Lord tells us to flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, follow faith, follow charity, follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen? You see, saints, in Psalm 85, verse 10, Psalm 85 and verse 10, the Lord tells us that mercy and truth are met together. How wonderful. Forgiveness and truth are supposed to come together. Mercy is supposed to hold their hands. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. How wonderful. Isn't that wonderful, saints? Yes, I understand. I do understand. Ephesians chapter 4. Isn't this a wonderful book? I can remember when I was learning more about the Bible, every time I quoted a scripture, I told the Lord it was in the book of Ephesians. And one day he said, Sabrina, everything is not in the book of Ephesians. I said, oh, okay, thanks. I had put just about everything that I remembered about the Bible in the book of Ephesians. Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to begin at verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, that means from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk. That means we don't live the way the unsaved live, in the vanity of their mind, in the emptiness and worthlessness of their many thoughts that have nothing to do with Jesus, having the understanding darkened. Our understanding is supposed to be clear and bright with the light of the Lord, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. We have access to the mind of Christ. Amen? We have the knowledge of the scriptures. Because of the blindness of their heart. Our hearts are supposed to be changed. The word is supposed to be inscribed on our hearts. Amen? Amen. Verse 20. and speaking of those things, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that we put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the way we used to live, the way we used to be before we came to Jesus, which is corrupt. You see, the old man is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now, we're not supposed to be going back picking that corruption up again. Once we come to the Lord, that's the end of that. We're supposed to let it go because we're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And we're supposed to walk in that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what we're supposed to do all the time. All the time. So the Lord tells us to put away lying and tell the truth. You know, I have this sign in my home that says, honesty. In case of doubt, tell the truth. Amen? Tell the truth. We're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. God never said that we weren't ever going to get angry. But when we do, we're not supposed to use that as a springboard for sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let the day pass and you're still holding on to it. Neither give place to the devil. Don't allow the devil a foothold in your life because you're upset. Verse 29. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No nagging. No saying things that are not kind and loving. You know those words. You get a little upset, a little bothered, and here they come, lining up on the tongue. Amen. But we're supposed to say things that are edifying. Or else we're supposed to keep our mouths closed. And that way we won't grieve the Holy Spirit who seals us. The Holy Spirit seals us up in Jesus until the time of redemption. We can't go around upsetting the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's supposed to take us from the earth to heaven. Do you really want him to be upset? I don't think so. So we're supposed to let all the bitterness, all the wrath, you know, when you really get hot and boiling, and the anger, and the crying, and the shouting, and the finger pointing, and the you know what else goes with that, drama included, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, with that desire to say, I'll get you for that. That's right. We're supposed to not have any desire to do harm. But instead, we are to be kind once to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? Because God, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgave us. That's why. That's a very good why. Don't you think? I think so. In Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the Lord reminds us, chapter 12, verse 30. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, beginning with verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and not parcel out certain parts to him. And with all thy soul. That means what goes on in your heart. You're supposed to love God with. We all are. And with all thy mind, where those little hot thoughts are starting to form, and with all thy strength, this is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. That's what's most important. Amen? So if we are holding on to anger and repeating behaviors that we used in childhood in spitefulness, aren't we in error? Are we demonstrating a knowledge of the scriptures? Do we really know the power of God? Or are we hypocrites? Do we say one thing and do something else? How can we say that we love God and be spiteful? How is that? How can we have evil feelings toward others? How can we want to hurt, humiliate, annoy, frustrate, aggravate, upset, and provoke others? And particularly when it is done in defiance. How is that? Have we not stripped ourselves of the armor of God when we do that? Because you see, the armor of God is held together by love. Amen? Have we not made ourselves an open target for the enemy? Have we not opened the door for the strong man of strife? Have we not invalidated our faith? Because faith works by love. Amen? Psalm 103, verse 8. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Ah, merciful and gracious. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He doesn't fly off the handle at the least provocation. He doesn't do that. He's very slow to get angry. Very slow. And even then, he floods us with his mercy. He knows that we're but dust and that our lives are a vapor. He knows. You see, God is good all the time. All the time. God is good all the time. In the book of Micah, Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee? That pardoneth iniquity. Buddha does not do that. And passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. See how he just goes right past that transgression we keep doing over and over and over again. He passes by. He retaineth not his anger forever. Why? Because he delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. If you want to grow in that, then put your initials right there by the word mercy. So the Lord will know when he's looking through your Bible that you really do want to grow right there. Amen? You see? In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, the Lord says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children
And do what?
Walk in love.
Walk in love. As Christ, as Jesus Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We're supposed to act like him, not like us. But we're transitioning, aren't we? We're being converted, aren't we? We're being transformed. Amen. Second John. Yes, Second John. That's way in the back. It's faster if you go to Revelation and come forward. Amen. Skip Jude and go to Second John. There's only one chapter. Amen. Verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Well, we just read one. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. That's the commandment from God. Amen? That's the commandment. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it. This is how we live our lives, pleasing our Heavenly Father. We are harboring bitterness when we justify and hold on to intense feelings of animosity, anger, even hatred, with resentment, vindictiveness, or wanting to get back at. We are being unforgiving, merciless, and holding on to a grudge. We are maintaining strong, continued feelings of hostility against someone over a real, imagined, or created grievance. You know, some grievances are created. They're created. Let me give you an example. I saw you when you parked the car over there. You shouldn't have parked it there. That's my space. But you see, when the person gets out, they're on crutches. They needed to use that space at that moment. So see, you've created a grievance when no one has done you any harm. Some grievances are created. We are maintaining strong, continued feelings of hostility against someone over a real, imagined, or created grievance, which is based in self-righteousness. Is this holy? Can we present this to God? In Leviticus chapter 11, Leviticus chapter 11, beginning with verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy. We separate ourselves from other things, and we separate ourselves unto the Lord. For I am holy, neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. He's saying you belong to me. So there are things that are not to be a part of you. Verse 26, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. I've severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. God did this. Should we not honor it? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For all of you who only like the New Testament, even though the Holy Spirit wrote the whole Bible. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. He that repeateth or harps on and on about a matter separates those who are true friends. Some do this even in marriage, after they have vowed to God to demonstrate his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness to their spouse. You know, it's impossible for two imperfect people to be married in holy matrimony and never have an offense between the two of them. They come from imperfect families, and they are imperfect. And as a result, imperfections will be displayed. However, we, when we call the people to marriage, when they ask to be married, when the minister stands and officiates the rites of marriage, he reminds them that the love, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God there to offer to their spouse. It's God's gift flowing through them to their spouse. It's the love of God flowing through this vessel to the spouse, flowing through the other vessel to the spouse. That's holy matrimony. So, since that's holy matrimony, and we are to be holy as God is holy, let us not block the flow of love, mercy, and forgiveness. Amen? Even in the church and in business relationships, people form grudges and hold on to them even when approaching the grave. Most of us have known at least one person that was extremely stubborn and self-willed and refuse to do what they ought to do, even though they could see the grave approaching. It's a pity, but it happened. Should we offer this to God as our reasonable service, saints? Should we? Well, this is what should happen. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. That's what's supposed to happen. Amen?
Amen.
That's what's supposed to happen. Love, God's love in us, can overcome bitternesses and strong walls of sin that we have erected. When we open up old wounds and old hurts, matters may become worse before they get better. We should defer this matter to the Holy Spirit, who will bring the truth, conviction, and healing that is needed. Amen? Amen. 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. You know, when you feel offended, you have to humble yourself so that you can forgive. Because you got your back up. You have to humble yourself. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, you're supposed to cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Why? Because he calls us to be sober and to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about and he's looking for whom he can devour. We're not supposed to be devourable. So we have to humble ourselves under God's hand. And if we need to be exalted, he'll do it when the time is right. When we're not boasting about, well, you know I'm right because you act just like your mama. Your daddy used to do that to your mama, and now you think you can do it to me. All right now, we have to let some things go, don't we? And we can't walk around with a wheelbarrow of, and you know, in our wheelbarrow. We don't want Jesus to say, well, you know, underneath that sea of forgetfulness, there's some things you've done in the past. We don't want him to do that. So we can't push around or pull around a wheelbarrow full of what people have done to us. Because this is an imperfect planet with imperfect people, and imperfection is going to display itself. That's the way it is. It doesn't mean they don't love you. It means they're not perfect. How can you expect someone else to be perfect when you're not? So in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, hold that thought right there. Just go to Matthew. I'll get there after a while. When we allow ourselves to become bitter against others, we create walls that are almost insurmountable. we do that? No, it wasn't the devil. It was us. The same walls bring cages of isolation into our lives. This is not the will of God, saints. This is not the will of God. It is impossible for a world full of imperfect people to live in an imperfect world and no one is ever offended. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can rise above it all. Amen? We have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us rise above all of it. Amen? Now let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Who is it that needs the forgiveness of the heavenly Father? Well, he tells you how to get it. Forgive everybody else their trespasses. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He's going to take his clues from what you do. So if you hold on to grudges and bitternesses and you walk around for days and won't talk to people, won't speak to people, won't be kind, won't be friendly, won't be loving, well, you know you just sown it. And he says, whatsoever you sow, you reap. If you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. We all must. You see, offenses are going to always occur. There's never going to be a time where there are no offenses on the planet until this thing down here is over. There are going to be offenses. So we have to come prepared with forgiveness, with mercy, with love, walking in the grace of God, walking in the Spirit, and not fulfilling the lust of our flesh, because you know our flesh is ready to say something. It's ready to say, it's quick and it's sharp. It's ready to cut. But that's not love. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. Let's go visit Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 21. Peter asked the Lord a question. And I know all of us have had our day when we wanted to ask the Lord this same question. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How many times do I have to keep forgiving this same old thing? They just keep doing it. I keep doing it. They say I'm sorry, and 2 days later, they're right back at it. I love you. It's like children. I love you. And 5 minutes later, they're right back at it. Till 7 times, you can tell how far Peter wanted to go. I got to do this 7 times, Lord? 7? Seven times? Do I have to go that far? I mean, can't we stop at 3? And Jesus said to Peter, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Now, they don't tell us if Peter fainted right then, but I know the look on his face was not. See, that's why there's no picture. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot. My credit doesn't go that far. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant, moved with compassion, loosed him and forgave him the debt. The whole debt was forgiven and taken out of the way. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 cents, not to be compared to the 10,000 that he owed, and laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, how was he going to earn the money in prison? So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me, because you asked me to forgive you. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. So that means the Lord is going to deliver us to the tormentors if we don't forgive. And not only that, but then you're going to call me up on Blog Talk. Oh, they're attacking me. Dr. Sabrina, they're attacking me. They're attacking me at the left, at the right, up and down, in and out. Oh, I need deliverance. Oh, you need repentance. Amen. It is so. It is so. But, you see, they treated me wrongly, you say. Well, you may be right. They may have treated you wrongly. But God teaches his children to follow his way. Am I correct? God teaches his children to follow his way. In Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 6, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. You see, this wicked one and this unrighteous one had once been walking with the Lord. Because the Lord says, let him return unto the Lord. And he will have what? Mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your way, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, you don't think that mercy and forgiveness is the way to handle this matter. But the Lord says, I know better. I know what works. I made the world. I know how this works. And I'm right, and you're wrong. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. That's God's solution. Repent of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. The thought of the heart has to be forgiven. Not just what you did outwardly, but the thought of the heart must be forgiven. You see, we're supposed to be loving God with all of our heart. And if we have this evil, wicked thought in our heart, we need to ask for forgiveness. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. You're back in bondage. I set you free, then you wandered off into bondage. But God is calling us to himself. He's calling us to return to him. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. You see, bitterness is a sin, and grudges must be repented of. Bitterness is a sin, and grudges must be repented of. James chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We curse people that are made in the image and likeness of God. Now that's boldness. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. It shouldn't be this way. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Something to think about. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, no figs grow on trees. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. You anglers out there, you know that. Those of you who like the crab, you know that. You know which water to get what you want. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, out of a good lifestyle, his works with the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. Wisdom brings meekness. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't boast about that and lie not against the truth. Don't go before the Lord saying, well, I don't know why she's upset with me. I didn't do anything. No, you can't go to God like that. I don't know why he's upset. All I did was slam the door. That's all I did. Knowing full well that is not all that you did. You know, it's amazing. When it comes time to tell what actually happened, how the story changes. I was reading this article from an insurance company where they listed what the people said after they explained how the accident happened. I was driving down the street one day, and all of a sudden, this tree came and crashed into the front of my car. Well, perhaps we should have an interview with the tree. Perhaps it's just a different story that we should hear. You see, how is it that your sibling is upset with you? I don't know. I haven't done anything. You know, God went to Cain and said, hey, what's with the brother thing? And Cain said, I'm supposed to know about that. What I know about that? I don't even know what you're talking about. What you talking about, God? I don't know what you're talking about. That's not right. The Bible says, lie not against the truth. He had to tell him, your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. What do you mean? You see, God lives in us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. If we choose to defile the temple, because the Bible said it's not the food we eat that defiles us, it's what comes up out of the heart that defiles us. There's a scripture that says that if we defile the temple, him will God destroy. We can't go around harboring hatreds and bitternesses because we're defiling the temple. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if we defile the temple, we draw destruction to us. This wisdom of having blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth descends not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Perhaps we should show it the door. Amen? You see, even a small grudge attracts more demons and opens the way for curses and torment. Bitterness and grudges also contaminate others. Hurts and bitternesses eventually find their way into our conversations through complaining and murmuring. A certain method for attracting the destroyer. Our mouths soon become full of cursing and bitterness. And thereby, when we open our mouths and let it out, there's this flag we're waving to the destroyer. Over here, over here. Here I am. Can't you hear me? You see, saints, it's time to reconsider our ways. Even if we have been behaving this way since we were children, it is time for God's children to grow up. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see, the father teaches his children to forget the harmful issues of the past and let them pass on to Jesus, who died for us to be free of them. We're not supposed to hold on to that. It's like taking a gas burner and it's on full blast and you decide you're going to hold it to your chest. Not a bright idea. Not a good idea at all. Not wisdom. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We learn to tolerate and to put up with one another. and to forgive one another and to overlook each other's faults and to cover each other's faults and to be merciful one with another. Just as Jesus forgave us, we must do likewise. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Some issues are destructive and difficult to forget, but obey the Lord, saints, and allow God to work this matter together with other things for your good. By holding on to the pain, we block our own good. By holding on to the pain, we block our own good. Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 4. Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. Everything that's come into our lives to make us sad and sorrowful, what has come to hurt us, and carried our sorrows. Jesus did this. He bore our grief. No matter how many of them we have, he took them, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. See Jesus? Can you see Jesus? See how he has taken every sin and every offense? See how your pain is healed by his blood stripes? The price for your healing has already been paid. So if your feelings are wounded and crushed and bruised and hurt, he took it. He took everything he had to take to bring forth your healing. He took it. He took it all. He went through the torture. He went through the pain. He went through the chastisement. He went through the suffering so that you could be healed from whatever has hurt you. You see, the price for your healing has already been paid. You can't make them suffer for what they did to you because Jesus already took the suffering. He took it. The bullet stopped with him. What more can he do? What more can he do? Will you accept his blood sacrifice for you? Will you? Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Saints, let's obey God. And let us learn to please him. Because it is written, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Stand for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in Jesus' name. And the church said amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you. Pastor loves you. Amen. Praise the Lord. you.